Can be seated. So last night we saw the events of the Last Supper, ending with our Lord giving the example of washing their feet. Obviously, we also have Judas being there. That Judas did not refuse the morsel that was given to him. And as I mentioned, we can consider that obviously the first sacrilegious communion. And this is a sacred scripture. And after the morsel, Satan entered into him. So in that aspect, there was nothing more to be done. Judas had rejected this last token of friendship, and it only remained for him to be dismissed. And that's why our Lord says to him, "That which thou doest, do quickly." And so for Judas, the die was cast. And for the disciples, they all knew that what they were eating was no ordinary food. Our Lord had said, "The bread which I give you is my flesh for the life of the world, and that he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day." And so after this great act of love that our Lord shows to his apostles, they would still fail him. And that's where our Lord even says, "You will be all scandalized in me, in my regard this night." And again, we see the impetuosity of St. Peter. He says, "Although all shall be scandalized in thee, I will never be scandalized." And so we know St. Peter, obviously, he goes through denying our Lord. And that is where then our Lord also told St. Peter, he says, "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and thou being once converted, confirm thy brethren." And I think that's something that's helpful for us to consider and to think about. That our Lord warns St. Peter, yes, that Satan was wanting to sift him as wheat. But our Lord prayed for him. And he says, "Once thou art converted, then you will be able to confirm your brethren, strengthen your brethren, strengthen the other apostles." And I think that's a reminder to us a lot of times, okay, how easy it can be for us to be faithful to things when things are going well. Maybe no temptations. We're brave when there's no danger that is going on. But it helps us also to realize, yes, that Satan will try to get us to fall, try to take us away from serving Almighty God. And we see that our Lord was praying for St. Peter. Our Lord is also there for all of us to help us in carrying our cross. The struggles that maybe we have, that he is there also to try to strengthen us. And that's helpful for us to see. But here you have someone, St. Peter, that our Lord was going to entrust the church, yet knowing his impetuosity, and even in knowing the weakness that he had, here he is talking big, saying that I will not be scandalized in you, and yet we have St. Peter denying our Lord three times. So that is something that I think can be helpful for us to meditate upon, to think about. And also I wanted to go over a little bit of the discourse that our Lord gives to his apostles before then we go into his agony. Now I mentioned the discourse briefly last night. But I think it's something that is very important because our Lord gives them this discourse that ends up taking up three chapters of the Gospel of St. John. That it is an encouragement for the apostles, our Lord knowing what is going to take place for himself, and knowing then also the weakness of the apostles, that he gives them this discourse. And this is, you know, after Judas leaves. So the traitor leaves after Satan has entered into him. And so our Lord talks about leaving them, but not leaving them orphan. And St. Thomas, so Doubting Thomas, he says, "We know not where you are going or the way that you're going." And that's where our Lord says the famous, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And that is the foundation of our spiritual life. And that is something that we must recognize, that our Lord is the model for us. He is the path for us. He is the way for us. And that is where we must always draw our strength from, is from our Lord. And so our Lord, in these three chapters of the Gospel of St. John, starting off with chapter 14, he tells the apostles, "Let your hearts not be troubled." Again, our Lord knows the weakness of human nature. He knows for them that this is going to be a difficult time. Because seemingly, who they thought was the Messiah, seemingly, he is going to be captured, he is going to be taken away, he's going to be crucified. And that is why then they all go to the upper room, in a sense, to hide. So our Lord is trying to encourage them, trying to help them by telling them, you know, let your heart not be troubled. And then he goes on to say, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. I prepare a place for you." Again, trying to help them and encouraging them in this time frame. And that's why he tells them, "I will not leave you orphan. I will send to you the Holy Ghost, who will then come to strengthen you." And obviously we know then with Pentecost, the Holy Ghost comes to them, gives them that strength to be able to go to preach and to follow the mission that our Lord gives, to go out to baptize and to preach the word of God. And so then in the 15th chapter is where our Lord says, "I am the true vine. I am the vine, you are the branches." And he mentions, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." And so our Lord has the famous, he says in there, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And that is something that we see in St. John's writings, that he takes to what our Lord says at this moment. And that really becomes the basis of the writings of St. John. And that is why in some ways we refer to him as the apostle of love. But in the proper sense, the proper understanding of it. And so our Lord in this 15th chapter goes on to say, "Greater love than this no man hath, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So he's telling them what he is going to do for them. That he is going to lay down his life, and it is the proof of the love that he has. And again, I think that's something for us to consider and to meditate upon during this Holy Week. The true love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of how much he loves us, that he was willing to sacrifice his own life for us. And so yes, that famous, "Greater love than this no man hath, than lay down his life for his friends." And then our Lord goes on to say, I will not call you servants, but I have called you friends. And again, that is what he says to Judas, even when Judas comes. We'll go over that in a minute. When he comes in the garden, he still refers to him as friend. And that is truly the last opportunity that our Lord tries to give to Judas. But again, Judas despairs. He feels our Lord would never forgive him for what he has done by betraying him, turning him over. But our Lord shows that no matter how grave our sins are, no matter how scarlet in color that they are, that our Lord is always willing to forgive us if we are sorry for them. And again, that is the proof of his love for us. So in that 15th chapter, our Lord also mentioned to them that the world hates you, know that it has hated me first. And again, that is where if we say that we are Christians, if we say that we are followers of Christ, we are at odds with this world that we live in. It has hated the Master. And so therefore, all the more so, yes, it will also hate those that follow him. And we have to understand that. And so when we go on to chapter 16, our Lord then warns them. He says, these things that I have spoken to you, I have given them to you so that you may not be scandalized. So again, our Lord prepares them for what they were going to witness, what they are going to undergo, trying to help them in preparing them for him being taken away, for him being led away, going through his passion, his scourging, the crowning with thorns, and ultimately then his death on the cross. And so, after this beautiful discourse, you know, the Last Supper is over. There is nothing between him and his death. And so our Lord leads his apostles out. And certainly they follow our Lord. At this moment, they follow him. And even in some ways, they follow in silence, maybe in a sense of awe of our Lord leading them to the garden. So he goes to Gethsemane. And that is some place that they have been many times. But Archbishop Goodyear, he mentions, he says, but for them, they could probably sense that there was something different about this time that they were going. And our Lord says to them, sit you here till I go yonder and pray. And he says, pray lest you enter into temptation. And that is the advice given to all of us, to pray lest we enter into temptation. This famous advice that our Lord gives to his apostles, but to all of us. And so he went inside the gate and he beckoned Peter, James, and John to follow. So these are the same three that witnessed his transfiguration in glory. If you remember the second Sunday of Lent. First Sunday, we have the temptations of our Lord. The second Sunday, we have the transfiguration of our Lord. And as I mentioned to you, Holy Mother of the Church, giving that to us, is showing to us, this is what you're working toward. This is the whole purpose of your Lent, to work toward being, in a sense, transfigured with our Lord. But our Lord brings them closer to him. And if you think about the transfiguration in glory, Archbishop Gutierrez says his humanity was absorbed in his divinity at that time. Why? It was to show to these three, Saints Peter, James, and John, that he was God. Because our Lord knew full well that he would also bring them to his agony in the garden, and that they would witness then him suffering, going through all of this, being taken away, that hopefully it would be there to remind them that he was God. But Archbishop Gutierrez also says that now his humanity seemed to oppress or to weigh him down. The human side. And so therefore our Lord began to grieve, carrying the burden of all of our sins. And so that's what our Lord suffered in his agony of seeing the sins of mankind. He was willing to take that on to redeem us, but then also recognizing the fact that there would be souls that would not be redeemed. And why? Because they choose not to be. And that was the agony that our Lord suffered and went through. Souls that would choose something else, someone else, some place else, rather than our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our Lord says, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." And he says, "Stay you here and watch with me." I mean, that is where when we have the adorations, there is always that quote, "Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" And that is the encouragement for us to make adoration. Because our Lord asked his apostles to do so. He asked Saints Peter, James, and John, "Watch 1 hour with me." And yet they couldn't. And so again, that is what the encouragement is for all of us when we have the opportunities for adoration. Could you not watch 1 hour with me? And so from that, certainly the three are drawn to our Lord. They have this close connection with our Lord. But yet, maybe in some ways, they are repelled by suffering, and so many of us also the same way. We don't want to suffer. And so our Lord fell upon his knees against a stone, and his agony begins. It's where the famous our Lord says, "If thou wilt remove this chalice from thee, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And many of the spiritual authors say that our Lord, his human will, was speaking out, maybe in some ways to help us to see that many times our will not be in line with the divine will. We will turn away from that will, not wanting whatever it may be. And so our Lord was trying to show us, yes, at times our will not be what the divine will wants. But ultimately, as our Lord says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And that is a valuable lesson for us to try to take from. That it is, humanly speaking, natural. That at some times we will not want to undergo that or go through what we're going through. And so with this, our Lord suffers his agony, the man of sorrows. Many times, Venerable Sheen has mentioned that title of our Lord, the man of sorrows. And we can say the utter loneliness of our Lord. He brings his three apostles with him. They fall asleep. And our Lord suffers his agony alone. The weight of all of our sins pressing upon him. He's going through his agony, sweating the tears of blood. Because of what he is undergoing, of what he is witnessing, what he is seeing, the future of, yes, souls that would turn their back on him. That the shedding of his most precious blood would be in vain for their souls, because they choose something else. And so therefore, our Lord, yes, he is alone. And we can say that he is deserted by his apostles, being denied, and then certainly also being betrayed by Judas. And so, yes, we can question and wonder, how could the apostles do this to him? They'd been 3 years with him in his public life. They had been given so much, witnessed his miracles, heard his sermons, saw the cures and the miracles that he performed. You know, he fed 5,000. And we can question why. But then also for all of us, when we commit a mortal sin, one mortal sin, we do the same thing to our Lord. We desert him. We become an enemy to our Lord. We deny him before men because we choose something else. And then certainly we can say that we betray him too. Because he wants to abide with us, and what do? We choose something else and push him out. Push him out of our soul. One who loves us so much, and therefore we want nothing to do with him. And so that's where when we reflect upon sin, the burden of sin, the burden of the human race upon our Lord, he took on all of our sins in order to save us. And we see that it is said of our Lord that he was made in all things like to man, sin alone excepted. But yet he took upon all of our sins to carry them and to forgive them. And so in that hour, in his agony, we can say that he was atoning for what we have done. We, collective, human nature, the human race. But again, a good reflection for us in seeing, okay, my sins, what have I done to our Lord? How have I treated him? Have I treated him any better than Saints Peter, James, and John? Or have I treated him the same way? Denied him, betrayed him? And I think that's something that has to be a reflection for us in this time period of Holy Week. That our Lord bears all of our sins alone. That his close friends failed him in this. That our Lord found them asleep. And I think in some ways, also the reflection that our Lord even suffered all of this without his mother. Obviously, the Blessed Virgin Mary was faithful to him at the foot of the cross. But our Lord had to suffer his agony completely alone. And even when he brings Saints Peter, James, and John, that he had taken the time to be transfigured before, to try to strengthen them, to help them for this moment, he comes to find them asleep. And in that way, our Lord had suffered disappointment before. I mean, just some examples that we see in sacred scripture, the 10 lepers that were healed, only one came back, and our Lord even said, the stranger comes back, where are the other 9? Or you think about the rich young man who wouldn't give up his riches in order to follow our Lord, even though he said, I followed all the commandments. But remember, our Lord says to him, but one thing is lacking in you. Go sell all you have and come follow me. And it says in sacred scripture, the young man went away sorrowful. And our Lord also was saddened by his choice. He was called, and he wouldn't follow. I mean, in some ways, you can think about our Lord calling souls to a vocation and them not wanting to listen, walking away from it, not willing to give up what they have. Or even when our Lord offered his body and his blood, that for some, they went away and walked with him no longer. They were scandalized by what our Lord had said. And that is where our Lord asks the apostles, will you leave me too? And at least at that time, St. Peter says, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. But yet our Lord saw these other disciples walk away from him because they were scandalized by what he was offering to them. Or you think about our Lord weeping over Jerusalem. That for them, the time of salvation had come and they let it go by. And again, you think about Jeremiah lamenting too, Jerusalem, when will you convert? When will you come back to God? We'll hear that soon in Holy Week. And so our Lord, he's been disappointed times before. And so with that, he admonishes them. And even in some ways, you think about St. Peter saying, I won't be scandalized in you. The others may be, but I won't be. And that's where our Lord says, sleepest thou? What, could you not watch 1 hour with me? And then our Lord gives them also the advice, watch ye and pray you enter not in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for all of us to consider that, to think about that ourselves, at times we make these promises to our Lord or even with our Lenten resolutions, but unfortunately, the flesh is weak. And so then our Lord says, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of sinners. So again, our Lord knows all the events that will take place. And so after he suffers his agony alone, he comes out, he warns them, tells them the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then he says immediately, behold, the hour is at hand, the hour of darkness. He says, let us go. Behold, he that will betray me is at hand. So our Lord again warns them, is now the hour of darkness that has been given. And so for all of our sakes, he would drink the cup to its bitterest dregs. He would submit to the kiss of a traitor. And again, that's where I say our Lord reaches out to Judas this last time by saying, "Friend, will you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" I mean, can you imagine for Judas being with our Lord for 3 years, seeing all that our Lord had done, and then our Lord saying this to him? You know, will you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? I mean, how Judas must have felt at that moment. Because again, Judas knew the places that our Lord went to pray. They had been many times to the Garden of Gethsemane, so he knew that is where our Lord would go. And so therefore, then, it was easy for him to find our Lord and then to tell the guards and different things, "The one that I kiss, he is the one that you take." But again, our Lord knew what would happen. He knew Judas would betray him. He knew even at the Last Supper, when he gave him his most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity, that Judas would betray him. And even says to him, "What you have to do, do quickly." And so our Lord says to them, the guards, "Whom do you seek?" And when they ask, they say, Judas, Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord says, "I am he." They all fall back, fall to the ground. You would think for them that that would be a sign of what they're doing they shouldn't do. But yet, again, it is the will of the Father that our Lord was obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. And that's where then also we have that expression, "The shepherd was struck and the sheep went scattering." And that is what happened to our Lord. His sheep, the apostles, went scattering. And so again, Judas still had a chance to return to our Lord, to repent. But he was too hardened in what he had done. And even when he realized that he had betrayed innocent blood, all he does is throw the money at them, say, "I've betrayed innocent blood," and he goes off. He recognized what he had done, but again, he felt the despair of, "Our Lord would never forgive me for what I have done." And that is what the devil pushes souls toward. Pushes them that our Lord won't forgive them. But again, we know that is not true. Regardless of how scarlet our sins are, our Lord will always forgive them and make them as white as snow. And so again, it's interesting, the Archbishop, he brings out in his book some interesting points in terms of, you know, Judas had heard Simon Peter proclaim in the name of them all, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." That is where then our Lord says, "Because you have heard this from heaven." So he had heard that proclamation. And so therefore, our Lord couldn't say what he says about his executioners. You know, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Judas knew who our Lord was. He had been with him for 3 years. And so it's interesting that point that the author brings out, that because Judas had been with our Lord, he wouldn't get the same thing as the executioners of our Lord, that when our Lord says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Judas knew who our Lord was. And so it's an interesting point. And so the deed has been done. Judas betrayed our Lord. And then again, we see the impetuosity of St. Peter. This time he strikes with his sword, cutting off the ear of the high priest's servant. And our Lord gives St. Peter, we can say, a last lesson. That our Lord says to him, "Put away your sword, because if I needed to, my Father would send legion of angels to protect me. But it is not what needs to be done." So kind of again, we mentioned last night about our Lord saying to St. Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Because as again, Venerable Sheen says, Satan tried to keep our Lord from the cross because that is how he was defeated. And so our Lord knew that this is the will of his Father, that he must suffer these things. He must go through these things. He must be taken away. And so that's where he heals then the high priest's servant's ear. And he shows to us that our Lord did not come to conquer by violence, by the sword, but by his love. And that is where then our Lord says, "This is your hour, the hour of darkness. But that will be defeated by our Lord's death on the cross. Satan will be defeated, sin will be defeated, death will be defeated." And that is where then for us we come back to the fact of, yes, the cross is the means of our salvation. And we have to recognize that. That even though the apostles, they ran, they scattered from the shepherd. And so the sheep went hiding. That our Lord's death on the cross will be then the means of our salvation. And so these are some thoughts and beautiful things for us to consider and to think about. Our Lord came to save us, to redeem us. And so we have it taken to where now our Lord is taken away from the apostles. And so in the final conference, we'll go through the passion of our Lord, the scourging, the crowning, the way of the cross, his death on the cross. And also to try to bring in a sense, the devotion to the Holy Face, to the passion of our Lord, tying that in for us, because that can be a means then for us to make reparation. And so I think it will be helpful for us then to try to then go through this that last part of our Lord giving of himself, sacrificing, laying down his life for all of us out of love for us. And that will be then the means for us to be saved. But again, as our Lord suffered in his agony, so many souls, the shedding of his precious blood will be in vain. But we have the opportunity to ensure that it is not in vain for us. By making a good confession, by staying in the state of grace, by allowing our Lord to abide in us. And so it's something for us to reflect upon as we enter into the sacred 3 days, and that these conferences are meant to try to prepare us then for those sacred 3 days, to prepare our soul and to help us to gain the graces that our Lord wants to give to us at Easter time. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.